Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 12. John 12, I want to look at verses 27 through 36 together. Our Lord in this passage, in verse 31, he speaks of the judgment of this world. He says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." Now our Lord had said these words after his Father spoke to Christ. And he confirmed for us what the will of God is for us in his Son Jesus Christ. The will of God declared in Christ is that God will be gracious to his people in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the will of God. That's what's revealed to us and declared in his Son Jesus Christ. And this word which the Father spoke wasn't to convince Christ. Christ knew what he was come to do. Christ tells us in verse 30 that this voice came for your sakes. The Father declared the word for your sakes. Now the judgment of this world at the time of our reading, the judgment of this world has already come. It's already been settled. Turn over to John chapter 3. Look at John 3 verse 36. He says, John the Baptist says of our Lord, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." So the God, our Father, God in heaven, has made it abundantly clear to us in whom he is well pleased. God reveals who his salvation is. He says in verse 35, John 3, 35, "The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand." If you would know the true and living God, if you would be received by God, you must be blameless, faultless, perfect, holy. And the one who makes his people blameless, faultless, perfect, and holy is the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to him, hear him speak, because he declares to us the Father. He declares to us the way of salvation, which is Christ himself. He is salvation. He is the salvation of God. He says in John 3, verse 34, "For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." And so what Christ speaks is the truth, and Christ's words are life. And he that hears those words has life, because the Spirit has come and given us faith and life, and the ability to hear Christ speak. Verse 33, "He that hath received his testimony hath set to a seal that God is true." He that believes the Lord Jesus Christ is confessing, "Lord, I have no righteousness. I have no merit, no reason to think that you will receive me by my works, because my works are filthy. My works are sin. And I'm deserving of your wrath and judgment. But you've sent your Son. You've declared him and set him forth, who is life and hope, reconciliation and peace. Lord, help me. Help me to believe him, to trust him, Lord. Have mercy on me for Christ's sake." And all who come to the Father declare, "Lord, you're true, and there is no salvation apart from your Son." I titled the message, "For Your Sakes." for your sakes. You know, man spends a great deal of time trying to get himself saved. He spends a great deal of time trying to obtain favor of God and forgiveness with God. Isaiah describes it in Isaiah 55, verse 2. He says, you labor, you spend money for that which is not bread. And you labor for that which cannot satisfy. And that's what man does. He labors and strives and works to obtain the favor of God. But our God says, hear him. Hear my son. Look to my son. He is salvation. And so the people of God behold, it's not what I do. It's not by the things that I do or what I try to do or what I don't do. Christ is the very salvation of God. He is life. And so if you would know what God is saying to his people, hear Christ. Look to him. Believe on the Son, because he is life. So, let's begin here with this phrase, the judgment of this world. You know, many people read the Bible, they come to church services, and they think that the act of doing those things, of Bible reading and coming to services and doing works of that sort, that's what makes them good. That there's imparted to us some kind of good dust. It makes us more moral and makes us better people because we're doing something that's religious and that God is impressed with our effort. And that's because by nature, man sees what he does, what man believes is salvation is wrought by his hand, is worked by something that he does for God. But the truth of God is that God must do something for us. We need his grace. We cannot turn the face of God towards us. We cannot turn God to us to be merciful and gracious to us. We need him in grace to turn to us, to look upon us, and to show us kindness and mercy, which he does in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not by our choices. It's not by our will. It's not by our works. It's by the grace of God revealed in his Son. Man doesn't know that by nature we are born in trespasses and sins. We come forth spiritually dead, unable to know the true and living God, unable to please the true and living God. And we won't know that until we are spiritually regenerated, spiritually born again, born from heaven above by the Spirit of God. Until that happens, by the gift of God, by the grace of God, we won't see and know the darkness that we're in. We won't know how blind we are to the truth of God until he makes us to know how blind we are by nature. Paul, when writing to the Ephesians, speaks to those of you who believe the truth, and he reminds us that we all were in darkness. We all were in death. We all didn't know the truth of God until God came and delivered us out of that darkness. And he said in Ephesians 2, verse 2 and 3, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. That's us, all of us by nature, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's the devil, the deceiver, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our walk, our way of doing things, in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. There was nothing that distinguished us from any other person. We all were deceived. We all walked in darkness. We all spoke lies. We all thought that we were doing something for God. But the truth is that except God have mercy on us for Christ's sake, we shall all die in our sins. We cannot save ourselves. And so man in his darkened mind convinces himself that what he's doing for God is what saves him. But the Lord convinces his people that it's not what we do for him, but what he does for us in his Son, Jesus Christ. and left to himself, man will always miss Christ. He'll never see Christ. He'll hear religious things. He'll hear about religious works. He may even try to reform his life and to do better. But he's missing he that is salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So, for example, look at John 12, John chapter 12, verse 28 and 29. This is the prayer that our Lord prayed. He said, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. That's a great illustration of the natural man left to himself. We don't hear what the Lord is saying. We think, oh, there's something spiritual around this Jesus of Nazareth. There's something about him, but we don't see that he is salvation itself. He is the very salvation of God. We'll hear things, we'll look and try to understand what's being said, but all it is a natural, carnal hearing that cannot save. The Lord shows his people that Christ is our salvation. He's not an example. He's not a good man. He's not just a prophet or someone for us to try and imitate and be like. He is salvation. Apart from him, there is no life. There is no salvation, no acceptance with God. Now, our Lord told Nicodemus, verily, verily, truly, truly, except ye be born again, except you be born from above by the Spirit of God, you can't even see the kingdom of God. How are we going to believe on him whom we've not heard? How are we going to believe on him whom we've not seen by the grace of God, by his Spirit? Until the Lord gives us a new birth by his Spirit, we don't even see that he is salvation. We don't have a hope in his righteousness. And so what I want us to see here is our Lord declares in this passage his glorification. He speaks of his death and what his death accomplishes for his people and how his resurrection is our very life. My prayer for you people, for you, my brethren here, is that the Lord is pleased to pour out his Spirit, to give us a hearing ear of faith, to give us a believing heart that receives the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we only hear him and receive him when we have the Spirit of God, when the Spirit of God comes upon us with resurrection power and raises us from the dead so that we hear and know the true and living God. Our Lord shows us our need of him. And he shows us that Christ is sufficient to save us to the uttermost. He convinces his people of that salvation of the Lord. All right, now, our Lord teaches his people here that salvation is in his hands. Salvation is in his hands. He's the one who's saving his people. He said in verse 27, our Lord says in verse 27, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. The trouble that our Lord is speaking about is that very soon, he's going to the cross as the sacrifice. He's going to sacrifice himself unto the Father as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of his people, to provide an atonement, a covering for the sins of his people with his own blood, to deliver us from the wrath of God, which is what we've earned by our works, what we've earned for our sins and iniquities. So this sacrifice of Christ, it wasn't a theoretical sacrifice. It wasn't a mere show. It wasn't just to put on a show and show us how bad sin is. Christ died in the room instead, in the place of his people, because we cannot save ourselves. Our sin is that vile, that offensive, and God is that holy that our sin must be put away. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Spirit tells us that our God hath made his Son, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we in him might be made the righteousness of God. Christ is the righteousness of his people. Our God provided his Son to put away that sin. Now, Christ knew what he was coming to do. He knew that he was coming to fulfill the will of his God for the people of God. And he would not be delivered from this hour. He didn't seek to take himself from this hour. He came to this hour with purpose. He came to accomplish our salvation. He said in one place to his disciples around this time, he said, with desire, I have desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Our Lord loves his people. Our Lord came to save his people, to put away their sin. Our Lord came to make them righteous, to make them his people, to secure for them an inheritance with holy God. And so we read again in Matthew 26, verse 38 and 39. Turn there. Let's go to Matthew 26. Let's read it together. Matthew 26, verse 38 and 39. Here we read of our Lord's trouble in Gethsemane. This is the Garden of Gethsemane on the night in which he was betrayed and would go to the cross the next day. He said to his disciples, then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, wait here and watch or pray with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Do you know why our Lord prayed that prayer? Do you know why he said those words? It wasn't because he desired to be delivered from the sacrifice that he was to make of himself. He wasn't trying to get away from fulfilling the purpose that God had for him for his people. They're spoken for your sakes. The fact that our Lord said those words shows us, it tells us there is no other salvation for sinners. There is no other means of our being delivered. If Christ does not die, if Christ does not give himself as a sacrifice to the Father, you cannot be saved. We must die in our sins. We'll bear our sins ourselves before the Father, and we must perish in our sins. Our Lord prayed that prayer so that we know that cup cannot pass from him. There is no other means of salvation. There is no work, no law, no nothing you or I can do to save ourselves. Christ and Christ alone is the very salvation of God for his people. And so we see there, we're sinners, and Christ is righteous. He's precious to the people of God. He's made precious to us. It's why we love him, why we joy in him and rejoice in him, why we speak of him and boast of him and sing of him and declare him to sinners, because there is no other salvation. There is no life outside of Christ. Now back in verse 28 of John 12. John 12:28. He prayed, Father, glorify thy name. And then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Our God is glorified in his Son in all things. He's glorified in his coming in the flesh. That he would humble himself, becoming the bondservant of his Father to accomplish our deliverance. He's glorified in the miracles which our Lord did. He's glorified in the shining of his light as he declares the truth into the hearts of his people. And though many people never understand what the Lord is saying in the slaying of Christ on the cross, for you who know the Lord, for you who have been delivered from bondage and set free from dead works religion and set free from the fear and the terrors which you had under the law. Christ is precious, and he's darling, and he's wonderful to you. You hear, you see, you understand what the Lord is declaring in the death of his Son. For you know there is no other way. That's my sin that put him there. That's for me that he did that. For his love for me, that he went to the cross to save me, to put away my sin. It's the Lord's mercy. It's the Lord's grace and love declared to his people of what he's done for us to deliver us from the condemnation that is coming upon the world. And so we who are clean and cleansed by the blood of Christ, it's for your sakes. It's for your sakes that Christ did this. He didn't go to the cross for his own sins. He didn't go to the cross for any other purpose but to make an atonement for you, his people, whom he loves. Now this is the judgment, John 3:18. He that believeth on Christ is not condemned, but he that believeth not on Christ is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. We see the condemnation, because no faith is revealed in those for whom Christ did not come to die. And yet those for whom Christ did come to die, faith is revealed. Faith is wrought in their heart. Life and liberty and hope looking to the Lord Jesus Christ is wrought in them for whom Christ did this work. Now our Lord says in verses 32 and 33, John 12:32, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. And so we see that it's there on the cross that Christ was sacrificed, bearing the sins away of his people in order to set them free. We see that Christ knew what he was coming to do and how he would die and how he would be sacrificed to the Father to make an atonement for our sins. Turn over to Hebrews 10. Let's go to Hebrews 10. And we're going to pick up in verse 5. Again, showing us that we could not be saved by our works, that we need a Savior. We need salvation, which is provided in Christ alone. Hebrews 10:5. "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering." That is, he's speaking of the sacrifices of bulls and goats under the law of Moses. "Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me." He brought the Son into the world, robed in flesh, because the Lord God gave him a body, a people, who are his inheritance. He gave him a people. All right, now in burnt offerings, verse 6, "And sacrifices for sin thou had no pleasure." Thou hast had no pleasure. The sacrifices which which Israel did under the law, they could not take away sin. Those things were a type, a picture looking to the coming Savior. And so that left his bride under the law. His bride, his body, had no hope of righteousness. We couldn't be delivered from our sin. God wasn't pleased with those works under the law. Verse 7, "Then said I, lo, I come." In the volume of the book, which means in the beginning of the book, in the very beginning of Genesis, it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. "It's written of me to do thy will, O God." Above, when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. "Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God." He taketh away the first, that Old Testament covenant, that he may establish the second, the covenant of God's grace with his people, by the which will, the will of God, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And we see this. Turn over to Isaiah 53. Go to Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. We see the offering of our Lord for his people to put away our sin. Isaiah 53:4-5. "It's in Christ's body that he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. In his body our Lord came, and he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And look at verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. When our Lord, you know, we're like the people who stood by when they saw Christ hanging on the cross. And when we consider the Son of God come in the flesh, and he went to the cross for my sin, the Creator hangs on the cross to put away my sin, to deliver me from that just death which I deserve because of my works, we're amazed. We're perplexed, and we're wondering, Lord, how can these things be? We struggle to comprehend it. And so it is when those people who stood by and heard Christ pray his prayer, and they heard it and said that it thundered, and others said an angel spake to him, we wonder, Lord, why was it that your Son came? What did he accomplish? How did he accomplish this? But we wonder, but through it, though we struggle to explain what the Lord was doing there, we hear the thundering strokes, the thundering strikes of holy God pouring out his wrath on the Son to put away our sin. We hear his thundering strokes come down upon Christ for our sins, being laid on holy Jesus, the Lamb of God. And then, when we behold what God has done to his Son for our sakes, we hear the voice of the angel declaring the gospel, as it says in Revelation 14:6, there was an angel which flew in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. And so that voice, what we see in beholding our Lord on the cross, is that holy God poured out his wrath against his Son for your sakes. And for your sakes, he causes you to hear the voice of the gospel, the word of the gospel, declaring, your sins are put away. You're forgiven. God is at peace with you because he's reconciled you through the blood of his Son. There's nothing more to do. There's nothing you can do. Christ has done it all. All the works which God requires are finished and complete in his Son, Jesus Christ. And so all our enemies are defeated. The devil's destroyed. The grave is ruined. It cannot hold us. Death cannot hold you. Sin has no more dominion over you. It's all been put away by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're given life, that life whereby we see Christ, and we see in him is all my hope, all my salvation, all my acceptance with God. John 12:34. If we don't have the Spirit, all we'll see Christ is with carnal eyes. We'll only see him with carnal eyes, and we won't see who he is or what he accomplished. John 12:34. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? And they didn't see that Christ is come a bondservant, made willing to do the will of the Father, to accomplish his purpose, to be gracious to his people. You know, he said those words, the Son of Man, when he was speaking to Nicodemus. We don't see it recorded here that he ever used the term Son of Man. But they heard him declare this, likely on more than one occasion. And it said, and he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And so the point is that Christ came as a servant to lay down his life. He did the work that we could not do and accomplished our very salvation. Now, you'll notice, though, in verses 35 and 36, Christ didn't answer their question. All he did was declare the truth. He just declared himself. He lifted himself up. And that's what we do in the preaching of the gospel. We just declare Christ. And those for whom God will be gracious, they will hear his voice. And they will look to his Son. And they will behold the servant of God and believe on him and rejoice in him and be glad in him. Verses 35 and 36. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not where he goes. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. Is Christ hidden from you? Is Christ hidden from you? What think ye of him? What do you think of Christ? I declare to you, he is the salvation of God. We see Jesus made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. And he came and accomplished that death for his people. He wrought salvation for you that have no hope and believe on him, testifying that God is true. Lord, I'm a sinner. I have no righteousness of my own, but you've provided him in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, help me. Help me to see him. Help me to believe, Lord. Help me to trust him and have no other trust. And the Lord says, he that believeth on me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Look to the Son. God has provided him. While you have the light, in the day of grace, while this gospel is being preached, look to Christ. Don't ignore it. Don't put it from you. Look to Christ and trust him. Because it's the mercy of God for his people. And in him, and him alone is salvation, and there's not another. There's not another. I pray the Lord bless this word to the hearts of his people and comfort you in Christ. Amen.